Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I should start with an apology. We do have a line. Houston is heading to Pittsburgh, Somich, and it opened 2.5, already bumped up to 3. We should start here on Sharp Money, and I'm being serious. The apology that is owed to Baltimore and Pittsburgh for the rivalry, fatigue, what we just witnessed, all kidding aside, was the game of the year, a certifiable instant classic. And it was, could just play into the drama, Mike. Okay, you don't always have to be a contrarian. Now, let's talk about where we ended here, and we'll get to the playoff field, because you've got your two, obviously Seattle, which we were on. They get a week off, and Denver in the AFC, they get a week off. I'll just take you to 2:30 about what we just saw. Jackson to Flowers, Lamar, 64-yard touchdown, Mike, 2:30 to go. Then Rodgers coming back. They don't have timeouts because they botched everything towards the end there. Rodgers ends up throwing to Calvin Austin a 26-yard touchdown because the defender slipped for Baltimore. All right, here we go. We're coming back. A minute to go. Keaton Mitchell has a huge return on the kickoff. So now, after Boswell misses the extra point, it's 26-24. All Baltimore needs, Samo, is a field goal. And Isaiah Likely comes up high, points a ball on 4th and 7. Lamar Jackson sets up the rookie loop for a 44-yarder, and it went freaking wide right. And that's how we start the program. What a game.
It was a phenomenal football game. It actually,
second half.
A great game between two teams that aren't very good. And you even left out the two touchdown drives prior to that, which took a combined 6 minutes off the clock. We had just chaos in the fourth quarter. I was on the under 43.5. It was 13-10 heading to the fourth. I'm counting my money. I should not have been.
I know. Mike, it was, and to be fair, the second half, but you had 5 fourth quarter lead changes. Again, with two teams, no DK Metcalf with Pittsburgh, it didn't feel like they could score, let alone put together big-time drives. You had typical Aaron Rodgers throwing a piss fit on the sideline because the communication didn't work. Lamar coming up big in the second half. It really was some pretty good. For two teams that we can't stand watching and we're probably both going to bet Houston, great game.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't like watching either of these teams. They're kind of a mess, right? But their messiness played into each other here, right? Because the fact that you don't have a secondary for Baltimore allowed Pittsburgh, who has no wide receivers, to be able to score points. And the fact that Pittsburgh was so scared of Derrick Henry let Zay Flowers just like literally skip into the end zone twice in the second half. It was a perfectly matched setup here between these two teams. And then to have the kicking drama come in, where you have the missed extra point, which we all immediately are like, oh, There it is. They're gonna lose by one now. And then the Likely catch, which was as unlikely of a catch as anyone that I've seen all year. Like that, I thought no way in heck that he's gonna catch that football. It was just a lollipop up there in the air. Somehow, some way, Jalen Ramsey mistimes the jump, can't swat it down. Likely just snatches it out of the air with two hands, and then it's just set up for loop. And man, the way the fourth quarter went, I tweeted it out. I'm like, this game's been goofy. One more goofy thing's going to happen. And there it was, the wide right kick there to send the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs. I was happy with either team winning because I was looking forward to betting Houston against both of these teams.
So that is where we should exhale, and we'll get into the program. He's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Happy New Year. I know we got a lot of new people joining the program, downloading. Thank you for doing so. Again, Sharp Money and VSiN. I'll give you all the information in just a bit. But tonight we wrapped up the regular season. We have the full cast of characters in the postseason. We're going to run the board for Week 18. Some of the games, Mike, we're just going to dance right past. And then we'll get into the playoffs. You've got the 2 on Saturday, the 3 on Sunday, and then the Monday night cap. Honestly, we generally do this program after the Sunday night show anyway because we want to get the numbers fresh for Monday morning when people download. And we don't start with the game because you don't want to, but we had to because
no
this
choice.
Closes out the playoff field.
Yeah.
And now Houston, who's a freaking problem, heads to Pittsburgh.
It's incredible how lucky the NFL got with this whole thing, because the Falcons beating the Rams last Monday night gave them a de facto playoff game. We got between the Saints and the Falcons today. You get this game, which in every way, shape, and form delivered. yes. here on a Sunday night. It was just incredible, incredible cinema there. Yeah, Houston headed to Pittsburgh. Good luck, Steelers.
Like, we'll see. Well, let's do that. Unconventional, but let's go straight to the number. So you're going to have the Monday night football game, Houston at Pittsburgh. Now, as soon as we started recording Sharp Money, 2.5 pops, right? And the first number I saw pop, to be fair, was FanDuel. They popped 2.5. DraftKings pops 2.5. Immediately got hit. Real time right now. And again, 3 is the key number, Samo. So Houston is 3 at DraftKings, 115. FanDuel is Houston 2.5, 128. Real key distinction there.
Yeah, well, especially when you look at the rest of the board. Caesars is 3-110. BetOnline is 3.5. Westgate is 3.5.
We're going to get 3.5s.
This is only going in one direction. I already bet a 3. I didn't get the 2.5. If you wake up, if you listen to this tonight, if whenever you hear this podcast, if there is a 3 available on Houston, run. Do not walk to whatever device you use to wager and get a 3 on Houston, because even if you don't like Houston, that's fine. Go ahead and bet the 3.5, the 4, 4.5, whatever this closes at, because you're going to have a middle of some kind where you're able to push and win, or just win-win, whatever it is. Houston is going to get bet in this game.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. I'm actually looking at 2 books I use. They're both 3.5. So you already lost it.
It's
that's
fast.
The reason when we came up with the genesis for this pod, we said we'll do Sunday nights, because you can generally, you know, in the middle, during a season, you can find some of those numbers still on a Monday morning. Not right now. Because a 2.5 popped over 3.5 with Houston headed to Pittsburgh. Let's spend a second on that. Does 3.5 feel right?
Yeah, it does. It shouldn't get out to like 5. Like the 3.5 to 4.5, I think, is where we probably land here. And you're going to get some pushback when Pittsburgh gets up to 4.5, because for everything that we do like about Houston, that offense is still a little broken. You've got Highsmith and TJ Watt, who are going to go after CJ Stroud, and that offensive line on the Houston side as well. Total opens at 39.5. I'll be interested to see if that ticks up. If we get over 40, I'll be on the under. But this is going to be a defensive battle. It's going to be this Houston defense, and how much are they going to be able to disrupt Rodgers? DK Metcalf will be back in that spot, so that at least a positive there for Pittsburgh. But you're still just... you're hurting on the weapons side, and you're now going against the best defense in football.
Well, you would agree, the issue tonight for Baltimore is they couldn't get a pass rush. Do you think Houston's going to be able to get pressure on Rodgers?
Maybe a little bit, Patrick.
It's
maybe
the best,
just
you
a
and
little
I agree.
Bit.
It's the best defense in football.
Not even close. It's not even
I
close.
I agree.
It's when you have literally 2 of the best 10 edge rushers, and you have 2 elite cornerbacks, an elite safety, a great slot corner. Like, I don't know where the weakness is. Maybe you try and run the football and see if you're able to do that. But if you see Houston get out to any type of lead, good luck at coming back, Pittsburgh. Good luck at when those guys
totally.
Can pin their ears back, rush 4, and they're going to get home. Good luck at finding ways to move the football consistently on that defense.
Yep, well said. And as you mentioned, 39.5 on the total. I don't imagine a ton of people eager to bet the over here.
No, I don't think so either. It's basically 110 everywhere. There's not really any juice. Circa just popped a 3 on this game, so they're at 3 now. Mm. We did see BetOnline come back to 3. So maybe we are going to settle a little bit down, 3.5.
Mine just came back to 3-2 off 3.5.
Yeah, I like Houston 3.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I mean, I love 2.5. I like 3 still.
All right. So here's what we do on Sharp Money. Let's go ahead and we'll start at the top of the board, because it paints the picture of where we are. And a lot of teams, Nick Sirianni, making dubious decisions today, which we can talk about as we run this. So 3:35, we'll go Green Bay, Minnesota. It closed Minnesota 12.5. It's a 16-3 winner for Minnesota. You and I left Sharp Money on Friday, saying, will Green Bay score a point? They did. They scored 3.
With 1 second left, in which they
That's
had to call
correct.
A timeout to go ahead and kick the field goal.
So we went team total under.
Yeah, team total under. That was never a sweat. Game goes way under as well. This is one of those where, look, Minnesota, just their defense is good. That Green Bay offense isn't, especially when you don't have Jordan Love in there. So Green Bay is limping into the playoffs. We'll just put it that way. But I still don't mind the way it played out for them. We'll get into their playoff game when we get there. But I think it was probably best case scenario if you're a Packers fan today.
Yep. They got Chicago. We'll get to that. Indy, Houston. Houston was scoreboard watching. Jacksonville actually started the game down 7-0, and then a wagon broke out and beat up on Tennessee. So Houston, you know, had an opportunity if Tennessee were to upset Jacksonville. They do not. Houston ends up winning this football game. They subbed out Stroud for Mills, 38-30 over the Colts.
Yeah, this was, like, you could tell this was not a focused Texans team right from the jump. I mean, you have a blown coverage early in the game where Pierce gets loose for a long touchdown there. And then when we saw the Jacksonville score, 31-7 at half, Texans are like, all right, we're good. We're going to take a bunch of people out. They pulled a bunch of people out. Ugly second half of the game. Mills didn't complete a pass the entire third quarter. Usually not great if you're on the offensive side there. Also sat Nico Collins today as well as a healthy scratch. So they didn't have their full complement of weapons on the offensive side anyway. I'm not going to take much from Houston in this game. I will say this to the people that that bet the Houston Texans or bet the Colts. You almost caught a terrible, terrible break there. The pitchy woo-woo touchdown going the other way. I know your boy, Dustin Sweetelson, was on right before me on VSiN. He took Colts plus 8.5 in game. I would have loved to see the Dustin Sweetelson reaction if they had kicked that extra point. Ends on 8 instead of 9. And so the 8.5 cashes, 9 would not have would have created a loser there. So a little shenanigans at the end. Texans are fine. Don't take anything away from this game.
Like we said, we'll dance past some of these expeditiously, and that would be Cleveland and Cincinnati. The only story here, I'm tired of hearing about it, if I'm being honest. Myles Garrett breaks the sack record with 23, and Cleveland beat Cincinnati 20-18.
Yeah, the Myles Garrett gets the sack record. They stopped the game, which was interesting. Like, Cincinnati had the football with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down 5, and they stopped the game when he got the sack.
Okay.
Yeah, weird. I know that Zach Taylor didn't really like that, the Cincinnati coach. Burrow at the podium afterward asked how important this offseason is. He said, quote, "This is the most important Bengals offseason of their franchise's history."
Yeah, well, he's been applying pressure to that ownership group.
He's going full
now.
LeBron on them.
That's well put. Next up, Dallas at the Giants. Giants somehow, some way are just like, you know what? Very important to pick up wins at the end of the year. They pick up a win over Dallas 34-17. Dallas was a 5.5 close.
The Giants are the best open head coaching position in the NFL.
Not bad.
And they will, whoever gets that gig should be your coach of the year favorite for next season. You've got a left tackle. You've got a quarterback. You've got a number one wide receiver. You've got a very good defensive line. And you have a fourth place schedule in a division that has one good football team. Watch out for whoever gets that job at the Giants to be coach of the year next year.
The game that really mattered, and Tampa and Carolina, we'll get to them, they were focused on New Orleans and Atlanta. Atlanta ends up on a heater at the end of the year. Doesn't matter. They fire Raheem Morris. They do pick up the win, so that advances Carolina to host a playoff game. Wait till you see the number with what the Rams are laying at Carolina, and Atlanta beat the Saints 19-17.
It's funny because my odds board that I'm looking at right now doesn't have the teams filled in. It just has the spreads and the totals.
So you know it.
But I still know which teams are which when you look at these lines. Like, oh, there's that one. Yeah. Found that game. Look, my Tyler Shuck, Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year tickets up in smoke here. It felt like there was a moment when they were down 16-10. He's driving him down for the winning touchdown, throws a pick, goes the other way. RIP for that one. I think the Saints kind of come away from this season pretty happy, though. Falcons, you're still just an absolute mess. But the Saints are like, hey, we got Chuck. He looks at least like he deserves a full season at quarterback. Kellen Moore, I thought, did a very good job in his freshman campaign as a head coach. So the Saints, arrow ticking up, and Falcons, just still inexcusable why they can't find ways to win football games.
Next up, Tennessee was at Jacksonville. Jacksonville 41-7. What we'll do is let's run the board, then we'll talk about the playoff game, so no need to apply it right now. Listen, 13 wins and a 3 seed, hell of a year from Jacksonville.
Yeah, great job here by Cohen, head coach, coming in and making the Jaguars not as mentally loopy. I mean, I don't know. They're just...
Yeah, that's fair.
They just make mistakes all the time before this season, and now you're not seeing those same mistakes. I still don't fully trust Trevor Lawrence, but the injection of Parker Washington after the injection of Jacoby Myers has given this team a real three-headed threat at the wide receiver position, and Strange has played well at the tight end position since coming back from injury as well. The defense has gotten better, not been completely turnover dependent toward the back half of the year. This now looks like a complete Jaguars team, one I still have trouble trusting, but a complete Jaguars team.
Well, you just mentioned it with the Giants. It is so important to get the right coach, and props to Cohen. I think you said it perfectly. It's kind of a team that feels a little bit more mature than in the past.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence kind of reminds me of like the surfer dude, the surfer girl, right? He's just like,
yeah, brah, got the flow.
A little bit of airhead up there, right? Just make some dumb, like some blockhead mistakes. And like, he cut down on those. Got to give him props. I've been hard on Trevor Lawrence. He's cut down on those the second half of the season. And you got to give credit to the wide receivers and what Cohen has done from the offensive perspective.
That's coaching. Lawrence goes up. Trajectory for Mayfield is down. I think there is a key there, and that's Liam Cohen. Next up, Miami at New England. New England was all business in this game, and they end up with the 2 seed, but they played their asses off. They beat up on your Dolphins 38-10.
Yeah, another good first half from Quinn Ewers, and just a messy second half
fell
from the Dolphins
the
here.
Half, yeah.
This game was over on the first drive. Three running plays for a touchdown for the Patriots. And you're like, all right, Miami's not here to try. They kind of gave it away there. Somehow they covered the first half numbers. It was 17-10 heading into the break, but it was all Patriots in the second half. And they've got some legal question marks, but look very good on the field.
Yeah. Never has a team been more fadeable than Kansas City after a decade of dominance when they got knocked out of the playoffs, and they lost to the Vegas Raiders today. Vegas, by the way, number one overall pick, even with the one seed would be interesting, with the loss today, but Vegas does beat Kansas City 14-12.
The Raiders get their win to close out the season. The Chiefs end up having to play two quarterbacks here, who neither of which were very good. No touchdown in this game. So your first touchdown scorer was no. One of those in the Week 18, always fun. The Raiders had a report that came out. I don't know if you saw this. They are trying to target Flores as a head coach, the DC up in Minnesota, and Dable as the offensive coordinator.
That's
the Giants.
Brady making the hire. So Brady must have a relationship with Flores. That's very interesting.
They both were in New England.
There you have it.
And so like
Brady is calling all the shots in Vegas.
Doesn't that make him a little interesting though? Like that's a legitimate offensive coordinator in Dable in my mind. A very good defensive mind in Flores, who I thought actually did a pretty good job coaching the Dolphins despite all of the mess that came out of that. Significant upgrade from
the last two years.
If it happens, obviously.
Pete Carroll running around. Okay, so now we get to Detroit-Chicago. Detroit was spirited. Chicago loses the game 19-16, but they have Nick Sirianni to thank because they end up with the 2 seed there in the NFC. We'll get to Philly. Anything from Detroit-Chicago? You know, you expected Campbell's team to not give up. They did not.
Yes, they played the starters the whole way through. We're locked into the fourth place schedule, which also helped them be able to go full effort here. The Bears were just perplexing to me.
Until the second half, right?
They didn't show up until the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams had 67 yards passing before the two touchdown drives to be able to tie this game up at 16. Like, where was that offense the entire time? That to me was a little bit perplexing, especially since like you expected Ben Johnson would have them ready to go because it is Detroit on the other sideline. But Goff outdoors in the cold, no problem. He played very well in this game. The Bears are the Bears, man. Like, it's kind of the team that we all expected them to be. They've been pulling out some close wins consistently, some crazy comebacks, almost pulled another out here, almost pulled out one last Monday against San Francisco. Both of those fall short. It's a team that has the ability to score points, but there are also a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I mean, they're theater. They're ahead of schedule. We're not expecting anything from them, but you do enjoy watching the games. Like, they always play very entertaining games.
Even for it, as inaccurate Caleb Williams is, man, he's got a frozen rope for an arm.
Well, he's got it. Yeah, no, he's got.
I mean,
he's got a
flick
big arm,
the
dude.
Wrist, and it's going 60 yards on a line.
He's not as the accuracy is in it, but he's got a cannon. next up, the Jets were at Buffalo. Now Buffalo's in that 6 seed in the AFC, which we'll get to when we get to the games. Quickly on this one, it's a 35-8 winner for Buffalo. My favorite stat: the Jets. No picks this year. Aaron Glenn was a defensive back. So if you're going to keep the coach, the worst unit and the concept of not having one interception. But anyway, the season comes to an end for the Jets.
If you bet $100 week one, interception, no. on the quarterback facing the Jets and you parlayed it, every week you'd have over $1 million by the end of the season for the Jets not coming up with an interception. This was probably the worst effort of the week. Like the Jets got the doors blown off them by Buffalo's backups and third stringers.
Yeah, I think he stays. We mentioned Raheem Morris as you get the Black Monday, as you're downloading Sharp Money. We'll find out who stays, who goes as far as the head coaches. Glenn probably gets another year, probably does not deserve it.
I would agree on both fronts. I would not bring him back, but I have a feel. Look, if the defensive guy doesn't get the, like, does, you don't see the transition right away, I've got no interest.
I agree.
Transcendent offensive guy, I will give him a couple years. A defensive coach, meh.
Can you tell me, and again, trying to figure out Sirianni, that's a riddle, but Washington beats Philly 24-17 today. Now, Philly could have won the two. Now, they played Tanner McKee. They rested everybody. And Sirianni said health matters going into the postseason. But don't home games matter? Because he would have had home games, an extra home game, if he ends up with the two seed, which was very viable with the Detroit team in Chicago. They essentially waved the white flag and lose to Washington.
Don't you also want to play Green Bay?
Well, that was it. They essentially lose today. They fall to 3. They play San Francisco. They win today. They play Green Bay. I'd rather play Green Bay and have an extra home game.
Correct. That's like a
so
double.
So I don't get it, man. I really don't get it.
It's a nice 1-2 combination to take on a banged up Packers team who is clearly the worst of the wild cards, right? I probably have them slightly higher than San Francisco, but from a just entering perspective, if I could pick anyone to play on the road, I would probably be picking Green Bay here just because of that San Fran offense. I don't know. I don't know what Sirianni was doing. I don't know what the play call was here. I mean, you have McKee in there. He throws the ball 40 times. You hand it to Bigsby 16. He's averaging almost 5 yards a tote. Why aren't we just running the football? Why are we just dropping back to throw it? You had to lead the majority of this game, too, or at least it was close for the majority of it. They had a 17-10 lead heading to the fourth quarter, give up 2 touchdowns. It was not a great effort.
It's not just about home field. It's about human beings and conditioning, sleeping in your own bed, not having to travel. You gave all that away by not beating Washington today. I very dubious. We'll get to more of that when we talk about Philly. Arizona at the Rams. Rams beat up Arizona 37-20. I think the big story here is Stafford probably wraps up the MVP with 4 touchdown passes. Or it's going to be close now.
I don't know about it. I was looking at the numbers consistently throughout the day, and May was the favorite, I believe.
Is he still the favorite? Yeah, he was a prohibitive favorite prior to today's game. Let me just take a look at the number awards.
I think it's going to be Drake May. I really do.
I think you might be right.
When you look at just all of the different factors of it, right? Like if you look at EPA, and Stafford is the favorite now, plus minus 145. When you look at EPA, when you look at like all of the quarterback EPA stuff, it's all Drake May. And the one knock on Drake May is the schedule. I'm not sure you can really use the schedule against somebody from an MVP perspective, especially when the Patriots turn their season around from last year to this year so much. Stafford's been great. It feels like if he wins, though, it's kind of the culmination of his career.
Yeah, it's a career honor.
Versus necessarily being the most valuable player this year from a statistical perspective that has decided this award in the past year.
I agree. I think it's the voters assume May will get one. Stafford throws 42 touchdowns. He's a favorite now. So we'll see. I think it's going to be close, but we'll get to the Rams in a second. The Chargers did not want to win this football game today. The Chargers are going to end up right there with the 7 seed, and they went to Denver. Denver gets a week off with the 1 seed. They beat the Chargers 19-3.
This was a very unimpressive performance from Denver. Only touchdown comes on a Trey Lance pick 6 for the defense. The offense puts up, what is it, 4 field goals in this game. Knicks ends up with 141 passing. I came away with the same concerns that I have for Denver. It's like this offense, if it's not clicking, it's really bad. And this was a Chargers team that was not playing starters. They were not putting out their best effort here. And it's a Denver team that just could not move the football. And like, I get it. Once you're up 10-0, you're like, well, we don't really need to. We're going to kind of, but then it was 10-3. Like, and this game was still in the balance. And you're playing for the 1 seed and you look up at the scoreboard and New England's just beating the doors off the Dolphins. Like, you kind of have to kick it in gear at some point. And this offense never really kicked it in gear. So look, the Broncos get the 1. I wouldn't be shocked if they lose right out of the gate, though.
Yeah, it potentially could be altitude for others, but I agree with you, and we'll get to that. The last one on the board before we get to the postseason games, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, which we covered. An opportunity, one, that's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Now, Samo does so much for VSiN, including Ready, Set, Bet Saturdays and Sundays with the contest show, VSiN at the Track, which is the best horse racing podcast. He does this Sharp Money, and he also joins me for an hour a week on my Mad Dog Sports Radio program for VSiN Live. The reason I'm bringing that up is because we've received a lot of messages from people that are signing up to become a pro and really enjoying the experience. So for the new year, $9.99 intro or 50% off the annual subscription. Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy. Here's what you need to do. You're not going to get a better price. You're also going to get the daily best bets, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered props, 24/7 video. So right now is the opportunity to get over there and educate yourself and make some money with VSiN. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Anything on that, Samo?
I mean, I hear we're up for Radio Emmy from that hour that we do every Friday together over on Sports Radio. It may be the best hour of programming.
Now, I do have to
do
15 other hours without you, but I do enjoy that one.
That one is strong.
I enjoy that one a lot. No, but it's a great deal. And you've been on the air when people have called in and said, I've become a pro. I'm very appreciative, and I encourage everybody to get the New Year's deal right now over at VSiN.com.
One of those things we always talk about is continued education. No matter what your passion in life is, no matter what your job is, you want to get smarter. And even if you're not going in there and you're tailing all the bets, if you're not using that, the information that is available over on VSiN is just spectacular. There's articles consistently going up from people where, agree or disagree, you can read the reasoning and understand why people are making bets and then use that to help formulate when you want to try and get involved. You've got the splits out there from a sharp book and a more public book. You can go in and see where the difference is there and make your decisions based on that as well. So the information alone is worth it, let alone all the additional, the daily email with all the rundown, the contest information, everything else is included in that subscription.
My sell would be, this is what I do for a living, and today I was reading the college basketball betting guide, because VSiN does a better job at providing the information that, frankly, I need, and I use our products, so you should too.
I can't wait. I just heard that we're going to have a Mexican third league soccer guide coming out, written completely by you in the next week.
It's going to be, South America, big time. Let's stay off Venezuela. You feel me?
I'm not even going to say it. Let's move along.
Two wild card matchups on Saturday. The first one we're going to discuss is between the 4 seed Carolina Panthers and the 5 seed Los Angeles Rams. It's goofy, but it's true. So let's get into it. Mike said he didn't even have the names of the teams associated with the spread, but he saw a 10.5 and knew the Rams were laying 10.5 at the Panthers.
Yeah, a Panthers team that has already defeated the Rams this year in Carolina.
Yeah, revenge.
31-28. That game closed at, I believe it was 7.5 or 8.5, 9.5. So right in that range. So we are ticking it up for the playoffs here. Man, it's a little rich. I'm going to be honest. Like 10.5.
It is rich.
It's a little rich. I'm not betting the favorite. I will tell you that right out of the gate. I want to look at this a little bit more, dig into the matchup, see if I want to take the 10. And even as that said, the market kind of agrees with me here, as we have flat 10s across the board. The 10.5s have disappeared. And a sharp book, a far, far away land, is at 9.5. Which generally is one of the more market indicators out there. So we may be seeing some money come in on the dog right out of the gate in this one, Patrick.
To provide context, Mike, the 4 seed is Carolina. The 5 seed are the Rams. The Rams are your second betting favorite to win the Super Bowl at +425. And at the very bottom of the board, the longest shot, the Carolina Panthers. So that gives you an idea.
You know what this smells just a little bit like? Do you remember a cold January day up in Seattle when the New Orleans Saints came in?
when earthquakes were literally Marshawn Lynch, and it was, I think it was a 14-point spread.
It was 10 plus, I can tell you that much. It was double digits, and Seattle pulls off Seattle pulls off the outright win there with the what was it, Marshawn Quakes? What did they call those?
That's a great pull.
I mean, I'm it's not impossible. We'll just put it that way.
10.5 is heavy.
It is heavy. This is one of those where Carolina is rooting for the gnarliest weather possible. They want it to be raining with sideways wind in that game so that you neutralize Stafford in the passing game for the Rams, and Carolina can try and control the game on the ground. Every edge is going to be on the Rams side. The question is just how big of the edge is going to be, and do they want to win by double digits? Because this is like a rather easy number to backdoor, right? And that's where the concern comes in when you're this big of a number and you know Carolina will not stop trying until that final buzzer.
And I think you brought up an important angle. Don't sleep on revenge. The Rams were rolling when they went to Carolina. That's the first misstep for Stafford all year up until that point. So interesting. We'll have more about that game on Thursday, Sharp Money. Let's go the second of the two on Saturday. Green Bay, Chicago for the third time this year. This is going to be in Chicago, of course. We'll have the weather and everything that you need. The books are just like everybody else. Who knows? It's a pick.
Yep. You can get 1.5.
And by the way, 1.5 on Green Bay at a couple of shops.
Yeah, you can get 1.5 on Green Bay. You can get 1.5 on Chicago. So pick your poison there. All you teaser players out there, if you want to tease this one and you like one side or the other, tease it now. Because there, like, once we get, I'll say, a day into this, there will be just one team that is favored across the board. You won't have the opportunity to bet both sides there. So if you want to tease the Packers, you want to head to, where'd the 1.5s go? You want to head to Bet365 or Caesars, as you can get the +1.5 on the Packers there. The Bears +1.5 at DraftKings if you want to tease them up to 7.5. I mean, this is
exactly
one of the more difficult games, especially
exactly
for me. Because
because you love Green Bay.
I do, but the Parsons injury matters so much. And you've had a defense that's gotten banged up consistently throughout the year, but all the offensive pieces are there for Green Bay. Total opens at 40. You can get a 45.5, as high as 47. I kind of like the over 45.5 at DraftKings right now. I do think this is one that could produce points, but I also like saying that. Let's do a quick weather check on Chicago.
Just to be clear, I'm showing Penny, which is very sharp. I'm showing them Chicago 1, and I'm showing FanDuel and DraftKings Green Bay 1.
Yes. I see DraftKings Green Bay 1.5.
So the public books are Green Bay. A very sharp book is Chicago.
Yeah, Caesars has 1.5 on Chicago, which is not as a sharp
and
book.
Circa, just a straight pick.
Yeah, Circa's just a straight pick. I honestly think that this is like Circa's like, hey, you guys decide the market. We'll go with you.
We'll adjust.
The difference between 1.5 either way, not a huge issue to them. By the way, you said Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir.
6 a high. In the evening should be around 32 and snowing.
So that total all of a sudden. But I can't bet an under on these two teams.
I'm not betting under. Look, if it's snow and no wind, that's not a bad thing for
that's
the offenses. Because, you know, we both played snow football. A lot easier to know where you're going than react to where you're supposed to cover. The slips happen on the defensive side, not on the offensive side as much. I am tempted to hit the over here. I do want to dive into the weather a little bit more, see if we do have any chance for some wind. It's supposed to just get cold that day. It's raining in around high of the 50s on Thursdays and Fridays. So we'll keep an eye on the weather, but it doesn't look too terrible right now.
Yeah, we'll have a weather update on Thursday, Sharp Money. It is the Windy City. You know what? This Saturday should be a Sharp Money get-together. We should watch
Ooh.
These games.
Hey, I'm down. I also am working in the afternoon, but I'd be down if you want to drive up here.
All
maybe
right,
get
well,
a sharp,
yeah.
Sharp Money golf outing, and then we can enjoy the games afterward.
We'll figure it out. Sunday wild card Samo, 3 games, and it starts off early with Buffalo at Jacksonville. Just quickly, Jacksonville is a point and a half pretty much everywhere. We all can agree the Bills stink. However, they have Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, they have the two best players in this game. Josh Allen and Cook.
I mean, it's fair.
1-2.
But everywhere is Buffalo 1-1.5.
Not surprised. This kind of feels like the Patrick Mahomes respect we saw in a couple previous years where you're going on the road, but you're not going to catch 2 points with him, right? You're not. It's like this is one of those games that probably fluctuates between 1 and maybe you see a 2.5 at some point, although I'd be surprised. I think this is 1-2 the entire week. I think you have time to dive into this one. Total at 51.5. There is 150.5 on the board. There is 152 on the board. Honestly, Patrick, I kind of lean toward Jacksonville here,
and
I don't like saying that because I don't like betting against Josh Allen in these type of spots, but
I like them.
They're just
I don't like the team. I love them in this spot.
They're just much more of a complete football team than Buffalo,
and they're on a heater.
They're on a heater too. I hate Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. Like, this is one of those where like I'm so excited to bet it, and then I remember who the starting quarterbacks are, and I kind of back off a little bit. So we'll let it marinate for the Thursday episode. But it's a Jacksonville lean.
Never have I felt like this iteration of Josh Allen's Buffalo Bills would prefer to be playing at home than this year. They needed Orchard Park. And going on the road would be scary. We'll have more on Thursday. The Sirianni decision brings San Francisco to Philadelphia. Now, I feel that 4 is heavy and Philly is laying it, but I do love the over.
Yeah, we're sitting at 46, 46 and a half. There is a 45 and a half available at Westgate.
Jump it.
I agree with you. This feels like points. I realize this is a very, very good defense for Philadelphia, but this is an offense with San Francisco that feels like they can move the football on anybody.
Totally.
Now, the one concern, you just saw this offense get shut down, and the key to me is Trent Williams. What are we going to get from Trent Williams here? Is he going to be able to play? What are we going to get from Purdy? How is he feeling as he got injured on the final play as well? That's why I don't want to jump on this one. We have seen San Francisco money come in the market. We're back to 3.5 almost everywhere now, Patrick. Circa the only 4 that's still sitting on the board.
Yep.
Right now it would be more of a total play for me, but Trent Williams is the key here.
He's the one cog.
When he misses, that San Francisco offense sputters. When he's in there, it doesn't matter if it's Tungus or Kittle. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, Juwan Jennings or Pearsall or Ayuk or like going back to last year, all of these pieces were interchangeable. Even Mac Jones and Purdy were interchangeable during the middle of the season, but Williams is the key that needs to be there. So I want to see an update on him before I jump into this game.
And props to the boys. We don't do this often, but we were all over Saturday's games. We liked Carolina. They lose by 2. And we liked, both of us, Seattle double digits in a 10-point win. So
yeah, we caught some flack for that on Friday night, too, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we did.
On the best hour radio out there. I got to say, like, it was a pretty good week. You were on Baltimore and Pittsburgh over. That got home.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take credit for that one.
I had the Saints plus 3.5. That one got home. But pretty good, sharp money week here.
Hey, what are you going to do? The Chargers are at New England. Now, the broadcast tonight, I kept on hearing the Chargers want New England, which I didn't really understand. New England is 3.5 hosting the Chargers and 45.5 on the total.
This is another one that I think is pretty tough. Weather's going to be nice, 46 degrees on Sunday and partly cloudy. So no issue here for the Chargers having to travel there. I understand why you kind of want this team if you are the Chargers, because their pass rush is not ferocious and your offensive line stinks.
Totally.
So from that perspective, it allows Herbert to be able to work some magic. You also have a zone-heavy team in the Chargers that are going to take on a big play team through the air, specifically for the Patriots. What the Chargers do well is limit those big plays. So from a matchup perspective, it does feel like it's a lot better matchup than someone like, I don't know, Houston, right? Where you're going to be able to be able to really cook with what you've got on offense and your defense match as well. It's probably Chargers or pass at this number.
Chargers.
Yeah. I think it's a 3-point game. I think it's 3 either way here. I think the Chargers could beat them.
I think that's fair. We'll have more on Thursday. We'll end sharp money with where we started, which is an interesting, because where we started was the Pittsburgh Steelers had just beaten the Baltimore Ravens in a crazy fourth quarter, a missed 44-yarder from the rookie for Baltimore. So Pittsburgh ends up hosting Houston. As we started the program 40 minutes ago, Houston opened 2.5, immediately got hit up to 3.5. Now it's come down in real time. Now FanDuel is showing Houston 2.5. Mike, I love Houston at 2.5 over at FanDuel.
Oh, man.
And by the way, they were 40 minutes ago. FanDuel was 3.5. Remember, if you're new to betting, the key is by far and away the number 3. So when you're toggling between 3.5 down to 2.5, it makes the world of difference.
I really wish I had FanDuel. Not an out for your boy.
The danger of California.
Yeah. Look, everywhere else I'm seeing painted three. DraftKings 3-115, Pinnacle 3-113, PlayMGM 3-115, Caesars 3-110, Circa 3-110, Westgate 3-120. I still think this closes over three.
Get two and a half then.
I don't see how this closes on at three or flat. This just feels like it's 3.5 to 4.5. That's where this line should be. Three feels like a gift on Houston, who has the kryptonite to what Pittsburgh wants to do on offense. You realize you got Stingley out there on Metcalf, literally the 1B of cornerbacks in the entire NFL, and a four-man pass rush that can get to Aaron Rodgers all day without having to blitz. I mean, this is everything the Steelers don't want to play. The question is, can Houston score 17? Because if they score 17, they probably cover.
That's why I'm looking at this total. My initial, and we'll talk Thursday, if this touches 40, it's 39.5 with some juice. I love Adam Thielen.
I mean, sign me up right now if they offer team totals. Books don't post team totals until like Wednesday. We talk about team totals a lot on the Thursday show because I like betting team total unders when I feel like I can really focus on somebody, or team total overs when I feel like it's a great spot there. This would be 18.5 based on the current number. Yeah, under 18.5 for the Steelers. Let's go.
I don't know how. Houston's defense is not just like, hey, they're having a great year. This is like 100 years of the NFL. Obviously, there have been better units, but this is a great defense.
Well, in a era where everything is in the offense's advantage. Like, that's the other thing that you have to take into account here. It's like every single rule is set up to create points.
Correct.
And this is still an all-time elite defense in Houston.
Correct. If you're hearing us on this Monday, first off, Happy New Year. And secondly, Happy New Year if you have FanDuel. Bet 2.5.
Yeah, there's your...
on Houston. All right. That's it. Quick, concise, Happy New Year to the Cobra, our producer, Matt DeWeach, as well. Let's do this as we say goodbye. When we come back here on Thursday, what will be the biggest shift as far as a number?
I think it is going to be Bears-Packers.
And you think it's going to go more towards Green Bay?
No, I think Chicago could be up to 2.5. I think you may flirt with three there at some point. This is just one of those spots where I don't love it for Green Bay, and I think people are going to look at Chicago and say they didn't give the full effort today. They're going to be at home. It's a division rivalry game, third time playing them. No Parsons. We've seen the Chicago offense cook, and now you're a little bit worried about Green Bay and the injuries. So I think you may see a 2.5 on the Chicago side.
And right now, both the public books, FanDuel and DraftKings, are both Green Bay 1.5. Let's put a pin in that. When we are here on Thursday, will the public books be showing Chicago? I think you might be right.
Yeah.
And then my one that I throw at you on Thursday, do we see 9? Did the double stay for the Rams? I think there's going to be people coming in saying, yeah, they beat them once. It's a home game for Carolina. 10's heavy. And you see it come down below that key of 10.
I think this is going to be a classic pros Joe's game. I think you're going to see the number. We saw it open at 10.5. We saw 10s. Those immediately disappear to 10s. There's a 9.5 on the board now. This is more professional money right now that's coming in. I think this number gets bet down during the week. I think we come on and we're probably somewhere in the 8, 8.5 range. And then I think it goes back up when we get closer to game time as public money comes in on the Rams. You're going to get teaser money on the Rams, money line equity on the Rams. I think all of that factors into the fact that you see the Rams kick off at around 9.5.
Okay. We'll do it on Thursday. Do not bet the postseason without becoming a VSiN Pro. $9.99 intro or 50% off the annual subscription. We also mentioned weather and everything you need to know. Wake up with Bill AD. That's the newsletter. It's free. Go over to Wake up with Bill AD. Bill, with all due respect, that was weird. Go over to VSiN.com/newsletter. It's completely free. All the information you're going to need leading up to these games is going to be there every morning in your inbox. Final word for you, Samo.
One of the more funky yet fantastic NFL seasons I've been able to cover. Like, it just even down to the final game of the year with
great
what
year
we got there from the Ravens and the Steelers. You go back to some epic Thursday night games, the Rams involved in both of them against San Francisco, against Seattle. You have a Kansas City team that falls apart, a Detroit team that misses the playoffs. You got your Shockers there. We have five of the best Coach of the Year candidates I can remember in the last decade all crash into each other in the same season. Just a fantastic NFL year. Well, the refs got a little too involved in some cases, but all in all,
great year.
Pretty damn good product.
Theater.
Yeah, let's just be honest.
It has been theater. Happy New Year to all these Sharp Money listeners. Thank you. Like, subscribe, kissy face, whatever you do. And we will be back on Thursday. See you then.